Amen. Wake up. Wake up. I'm going to go to the second book of Samuel this morning and go into a story about David's family. Heavy story. King David's son Amnon committed terrible act of sin within their family. And Absalom, Amnon's brother, had him killed by his own servants. And so Absalom had Amnon killed because of the terrible sin that he perpetrated within the family. And because of it, Absalom then fled from King David and his household and from Jerusalem. And I'm going to the second book of Samuel, the 13th chapter, and I'm going to read a few verses here, starting with the 38th and 39th. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur, and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, in that he was dead. And then I want to go to the 14th chapter, and the first verse says, now Joab was a man of war, worked directly under David for many, many years, a tremendous man, that great servant. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward his son Absalom that had been gone for 3 years. Down in the 23rd verse says, so Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. There's a lot of story in here, and you probably need to read it all when you get home, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 chapters of 2 Samuel. And so Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. The 28th verse says, so Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. So he had been down in Geshur for 3 years. He's back in Jerusalem 2 years. And during all of this time, he never come in contact one-on-one basis with his father, even though he longed to, even though his father had a longing, they were still separated from each other. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore, Absalom sent for Joab, the man of war, the great warrior that worked under David, to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he still would not come. 30th verse, therefore, he said unto his servants, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servant set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house and said unto him, wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? And Absalom answered Joab, behold, I sent unto thee, saying, come thither, that I may send thee to the king, to say, wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been better for me to have been there still. Now therefore, let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king and kissed him. Well, I hope you can see the story here. Absalom also committed a deed that was contrary to his father's will. Amnon had committed an act contrary to his father's will. But they took all of this time. Joab, a great man of war, a man that had worked closely with King David and wouldn't listen to Absalom when Absalom called. Said, Joab, come on, I want you to go to the king for me. But Joab did not answer. In fact, Absalom could have said to Joab, where'd you go? Where'd you go? What happened? You were involved with the master's work. You were right under King David, but all of a sudden, here you are. Rather than be a man of war, you've settled down and become a barley farmer. You've gotten involved in things that you were never involved in before. And what's happening in your life? I want you to know that there is a steadfastness that God wants you and I to remain in throughout our life. The Word of God encourages us. The Word of God says Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and he'll be that forever. And there's a stability that I believe that God wants his people involved in. And I'll tell you what, if you backed off, if you moved away, if you're not involved where you one time were, there's a good chance that the Lord's saying, where'd you go? What's happening? Why are you not involved? Well, I'm letting somebody else take care of it. I'm letting somebody else do the job. I thought it was great. They had 160 some down at the old building yesterday. I thought we've never had to compete with another church in town before, but here we have started a work down there, and boy, they're just going great guns. I hope they keep moving. But some of us have kind of settled back and said, you know, they don't need me. It's real easy sometimes just to back off and let somebody else do what we think needs to be done. And that was the condition of Joab. He said, hey, let somebody else go to the king. He said, I'm raising barley and I just don't have the time. I got plenty to do without running around for Absalom. And so he was pulling back. Our desire toward God needs to be consistent. It's really easy to let things down. But I want you to know that our families really depend on whether or not we are busy about the master's business. Folks, you better realize that your children, I'm talking to moms and dads also, your children really need to know that you are faithful in the work of the Lord every single day. You're not giving up. You're not taking a lower position. I mean, there's no place to retire in this work of the Lord. We just need to retread and get all set and go a little bit more than what we've ever done before. But our desire is toward God and for our needs in our family and our children, our friendships that we come in contact with, on the job. It doesn't matter where you're at, our possessions. If we're not careful, if we're not real careful, some of these things get in a position to where it separates us from wanting to do the king's business. And so we let down in those areas. But I want to remind you that God expects us to be faithful and on the job every day of our life. We want and need God's blessings. So what happened? What happened that caused you to back up? What happened to where you are not in the position of unity that you one time was? What about the leadership that you always exhibited in the house of God, in the work of the Lord? What's happened that you're no longer there? Absalom could have asked Joab all of these questions, but I'm asking us today, what happened to that old statement? You can count on me. You know, we've built on this building 3.5 years, every Saturday, virtually every Saturday. And we just worked, we worked night and day. We was here on Thursday nights and Tuesday nights and Saturdays and just work. And you know what? I could make up a work list, and I had a list of men that was absolutely so faithful, I could put their name down without them saying a thing to me because they were in unity with what's going on. But what's happened now, I was told yesterday, and I prepared to preach this last week, so what I heard yesterday didn't have anything to do with my notes today. But I just heard yesterday that some of our couples that are taking care of just the barbecue and stuff around the football game, they can't hardly get couples to come and help anymore. And so what's happened? What's happened in your situation? What's where's that drive? Hey, you can call on me. You can count on me. I'm here and I'm busy and I will do your bidding if you need me. The young man was talking to me. He said, well, maybe it's because I was asking rather than Brother Mike. I said, no, we'll take care of it. At that moment, I kind of had an idea that I was going to preach the same message that I studied to preach last week, and we got singing and praising the Lord around here and never got to the preaching. But I'm telling you, I said, no, it's not because of, you're not Brother Mike. He said, maybe if he'd ask him, no, there's a lethargy that's creeping into our midst. But I tell you what, we better get back to the place where we say, hey, you can count on me. If you need me, I'll be right there. If you need me for anything, I'll be right there. That's the thing that's made our church strong. From the time we started it, we never gave up. We were here, Johnny on the spot. There were some things we didn't especially like to be involved in, but we were there because we were part of the crew. But where you at? Wake up. Wake up. God's looking for you. I tell you, we better know that the work of the Lord, regardless of what area it is more important than any other work we can get involved in. Hey, there's pressures all around us. You know, there's little league and big league and medium league and pop who? Yeah, I thought there'd be some sinners hidden here knew about it. You know, all of those things, if we're not careful, they take our time and we say we're not interested. We don't want to be involved in this thing and that thing that the church is going on. But I'll tell you what, from the very beginning of Riverdale Assembly of God, we all worked together. We worked together and we supported everything that was going on. Joab was the man of the hour. One time he'd taken a city and he said, kind of chided with David and said, you better get down here, because if you don't get down here, we're going to call this city after my name. He was there in every battle. Here Joab was still involved with the king, but he was no longer the leader that he had been during the days that he was a warrior. No, he may not have needed to be fighting, but he still needed to be busy about the master's building, bidding. We don't have to build the way we were. We don't have to come every single Saturday. I've enjoyed it, and I think a number of you have. But if we're not careful, we sit down and say we don't have to be involved with anything. We can do anything else but the work of the Lord. We use little phrases, I can't because. Well, I'm too tired. Well, if you're not older than Brother Roy Short or Brother Dick Ostrom, how old are you, Brother Ostrom? 81. And I tell you, how old are you, brother? 81. And every day they come, and I'd go home and tell Sister Spencer, Brother Short and Brother Robinson are building that staircase. She said, you can't have, those men don't know what they are doing. I said, well, they're doing it, I'll tell you for sure. And they're pretty nice, aren't they? John may have had to straighten up a few things here and there. But I tell you what, when we started out early in the morning, they'd get those, I don't know what all they got together. But I mean, they put those C-clamps on that steel. And I thought, what in the world's going on? But they turned out really nice, Brother John. And some of these old men, if you're not older than them, quit saying you're tired. Come on, don't get old before your time. Get up, say, here I am. I'm ready for anything that needs to happen. Right. You need to meet barbecue at the football game, I'll barbecue at the football game. It don't matter. Wherever you need me, I'm ready. Amen. Too tired. I've got to take care of this family. I've got this appointment, that appointment. I tell you what, we're getting more appointments around here. I got to go see the doctor. Why don't you come and see Dr. Jesus? He's still the God that healeth. Amen. I'm preaching about waking up this morning. Let me tell you something. God knows how to get your attention. Too tired. Well, it's just our boys. You know what? They've been beating every football game. I know a bunch of you stayed home yesterday because you knew they was going to wipe them out again. Well, I tell you what, I was out there on the sideline, and when that one young man reached up and caught a football, did he do it with his left hand or his right hand? You don't know for sure. With his right, reached up with one hand and intercepted a pass out of that. I tell you, I was up on that ditch, man. Go, 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 go. I think it was the same man that was running that guy down the... Some of you don't know what I'm talking about because you're not interested anymore in what's going on. He is trailing right behind that guy. He was almost to make a touchdown. I said, jump, jump, jump. And that old boy jumped. I know he had to hear me. I mean, he just took a leap and got a hold of that old boy's shoulders and brought him down 2 yards before he got to the goal line. Well, it's just our girls. Well, I think you ought to support your girls. When your girls are doing something, I think you ought to stand on the sideline and say, great going, girls. You are absolutely wonderful. They're here this morning. They'll be singing in choirs this evening. They teach Sunday school. They do anything and everything around the church. They're busy about the master's business. But a few of us Joabs are taking care of our barley field. If you ask Joabs, we don't have time. Kind of tickled me last week. Les and Vanita was really running late. And they walked on out here at halftime, and the other team had thrown in the towel, and the game was over. I don't know whether you went ahead and eat a hamburger or not. Shame on you. Should have spent some of that money. Well, I don't like pork. Well, you poor little flimsy baby, you. Go home and get you a hamburger that don't have lettuce, mustard, mayonnaise. You don't know what's good. Oh, Lord Jesus, I am really meddling today. Hey, I remember whenever we just a little old bitty church and we'd load up that old green 47 bus, Chevy bus, and we'd go to every CA rally. And didn't matter, we just starting out, but we just took all the banners back then. They decided that, and they had an A group and a B group and a C group at that time. They said, you're too strong to work in the C group. Well, we as littler than any of them, didn't matter, we were in unity. It didn't matter, because we were in unity. Everybody said, boy, what do you got going on out there? We started building this little church over here. I didn't know how to build. Nobody else. Brother Mike didn't know how to build. He was just a teenager. None of us knew how to build, brother. I remember Brother Hall saying, Brother Charlie, are those kids out there supporting you? I never winced one bit. I'd say, yes, sir. Those kids are supporting me because they were with me. Didn't matter where we went, what we did, what needed to be done. Every one of them were there, and they were ready to do whatever Brother Spencer said, we're going to do. But we've become Joabs. Get off of that old couch and get busy. Quit playing with your little barley field. And come on, let's get in unity, and let's do something. Why don't you bring somebody to the house of God? They might get saved tonight if you brought them to the house of God. Oh, you don't care for Sunday night. I forgot. You're a Sunday go-to-meeting Christian. Well, bless your little skinny heart. You'll never grow. Well, they'll make it whether I'm there or not. And I'm telling you, you are the loser. I'm not preaching to our new people. I'm preaching to us Joabs that have been on the front lines, done everything we could find that our hands found to do. We've done it with all of our might. But all of a sudden, hey, Les, where you at? Brother Robinson, where you at? Hey, Brother Walter, Brother Roland. Now I'm calling some names that are just as faithful as clockwork today. But what if Absalom was calling your name? Let me tell you something. God knows how to get your attention. Every one of us got some barley fields that we're pretty proud of. That little baby you hold in your arms. You back up from God, and I tell you what, God knows how to reach in and take that little jewel on home to his garden. He'll get your attention. He may stop you on the way home with an accident. Talked to a lady in the store yesterday and asked her about her husband because he'd been in a terrible accident. A truck come on an on-ramp and just flat run over him in another truck. Broken. Maybe God's trying to get his... We've had some wake-up calls around here. You just go ahead and get involved in every... Some of you got in so involved in jobs that you'd sell your soul to please that bunch down at that job. Joab, you better get back in the altar. Look out. Some of you have had barley fields burned and never realized God was talking to you. Well, Brother Spencer, God never answers my prayer. God answers all of my prayers. I serve a great, big, wonderful God. I serve a God that just moves. And Sister Spencer and I talk about it almost daily, every week, about the blessings of God. I forget who we were talking to yesterday, and we said, God has been so good to us in our church. I don't want to become a Joab. God have to say, wake up. And then when I don't wake up, he has to burn a barley field. Reach into my home, into our church. Say, wake up, Charlie Spencer. So that's what he's saying this morning. And that's what the preacher's preaching. Wake up, God's looking for you. God's given Sister Spencer and I such a tremendous privilege. I was working with over 600 souls yesterday and today. We feel absolutely privileged. But wake up! Don't cause God to get your attention by burning that thing that has become so precious to you. Bow your heart with me in a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name,